experts are back. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us in the studio for the next two segments, Dennis Laidler, the education curator from Potter Park Zoo. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Hey, it's great to be here with you guys.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Dennis, you had the opportunity to listen to our conversation with Jungle Jack Hanna, and I understand he just made an appearance at Potter Park Zoo and helped you with a fundraiser. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to do that program and what went on that night?
Well, you know, people may not be aware. I mean, you know, they mentioned how busy he was. Jack really, really supports accredited zoos, and he was a zoo director. He really turned around the Columbus Zoo when he was the director there, and we are getting ready actually to break ground in about a few weeks for our new rhino exhibit. And we were still doing the fundraiser last year. And Jack made time in his busy schedule to make an appearance and sold out in just a few days. And he didn't charge us anything other than the gas to get his staff up here for the Columbus with the animals. He did it all gratis, so it would actually be a fundraiser. The weather was terrible. He had trouble with flights, but he still got here. He ended up not even being able to fly out. He had to drive back to New York. You know how busy his schedule was. That's the way his schedule is all the time. And what's been most impressive is his message. You know, he does that sort of, we discussed how he sort of uses this almost buffoonery kind of humorous thing, but he gets people's attention, he gets them interested in the animals, and then when he does take a time out to do a serious message, it really carries a lot more weight because he uses humor so much. So when he's doing that time out, it carries so much more weight. I've been very impressed. As somebody that's been in education all my life, it's very impressive to watch how he does it and how effective he is at it.
Yeah, he definitely plays the idea that he's just a enthusiastic, ambitious person that kind of young at heart. But you know, I was listening to him on this previous spot and you watch him in action. He's definitely driven and he's definitely got in mind what he's trying to accomplish and where he wants to go. And you, every time it's that undercurrent of conservation.
Yes. I mean, you know, you could hear it, you know, that the place that he said he actually owns in Africa, that sort of center, is means a lot to him. He talks about it every time he's on the air. He comes back to that, and you know he's self-taught. He's, you know, like you said, he was a farm boy in Tennessee, and he's not ashamed of his roots.
Right.
He uses that to let people know that he's just an everyday Joe that just does phenomenal things, and it really comes across. And you can't fake enthusiasm. He's that way.
Right.
And that's why he's able to, you know, carry out that schedule that he has. And we as an accredited zoo, you know, Jack tries to do something for all the accredited zoos once every few years. Mm-hmm. He just finds mm-hmm. a way to do it, you know.
Maybe what I'd like to do is turn a little bit, you know, I've known you for nearly a decade. And the one thing I would say, it doesn't matter what conversation we've had, and we've had a dozen of them, we've always, all of your conversations always lead towards education and conservation. You know, you're very driven. You're very purposeful. We'll call you Jungle Dennis if you'd like. But, you know, I think not enough people in the Lansing area can really appreciate the mission that you're on. And I know you have a number of team around you that kind of develop core curriculum, and you have different programs. I sure would like to see if you could take the time out to tell us some of the educational outreach programs that you have and talk a little bit about them in the sense of pride, because I know you are. Tell us about how they've developed over the years while you've been there administrating this.
Well, I was very fortunate. I started the zoo in year 2000, and my first job there, my first major task was to go through the punch list with the construction company, the building of our new education center. And we went from a 20 by 20 building with no running water to a 10,000 square foot state-of-the-art education center. And you can do great things without great facilities, but great facilities allow you to do even greater things.
Exactly.
We already are to the point and have been for a few years where we need a bigger building and
right,
all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of biggest challenge at a zoo, other than you always need more resources, is that zoos, to a lot of people our age, our generation, you know, we could go to the Detroit Zoo as a child and see a chimp show. You know, they'd ride bicycles and be dressed up like people. And zoos went from being menageries, you know, two generations ago, mm-hmm. to zoological parks where they are now. And they're very on the close, really on the brink of becoming just full-blown leaders of conservation, centers of conservation.
Yeah, right.
And you can't do conservation without education. Jack mentioned that. I mean, and you just can't do it. People need to have an understanding to be able to appreciate. And the way you get that understanding, like he said, is you make a connection, an emotional connection to the animals. And so based on that, you know, the mission of our zoo is conservation education. We do it in a lot of different ways. And another day we'll talk about our conservation research kind of things that we're involved with. But from an educational standpoint, well over 30,000 mid-Michigan students here get some kind of plan programming from the zoo, and that's K-12. You know, we also do things for LCC and MSU. Last night, I spent 2.5 hours with ornithology class and avian club from MSU doing stuff at the zoo.
Uh-huh.
And so we also have a lot of special events, and whether it's a, you know, our upcoming Boo at the Zoo, there's going to be educational things programmed in. Now, some of them are subliminal almost, where uh-huh. they may not even realize. We have birthday parties. We did 131 birthday parties at the zoo last year.
Wow.
And every one of them has an educational component where the kids right. get to interact with live animals and things. And so we do the real subtle stuff, and then we do the, you know, the more official stuff. And
right.
The challenge in education is there's always a trade-off between what we call quantity and quality. Not that we don't all our programs have quality, but by quality, we mean intensive resource or the intensity of learning. Because, for example, we have a program that was piloted at our zoo. We're now starting to train other zoos to do, called the Big Zoo Lesson, where
right.
elementary teachers come and spend 2 full days of training on this education model with myself, other zoo staff, and Margaret Holschlag, the teacher that designed it.
Yeah.
And then we sit down with them. Usually it's Margaret. And they design a full week study at the zoo, and they come 5 consecutive days. We've had phenomenal results with that. And this year, 57 classes will do that.
That's amazing. I know I've known about this particular program, but I just wanted the listening audience to kind of hear about that, because that just resounds in like future generations kind of resounding, because these are the kids that are actually going to be doing any kind of good that you and I, as we drop off this planet, you know, these are the kids that are going to march forward and really make a difference. And I can imagine each year, you know, 57
classes. So in the last couple of years, it's been between 1,100 to 1,300 kids a year get a chance to immerse themselves for a week in zoo and do really intensive learning. And
there's a local connection with Margaret as well, right?
Yes. Margaret was for many, many years a teacher in the Hazlitt teacher in the school system.
My alma mater.
But she was the year 2000 teacher of the year. She was a national finalist for teacher of the year. She's one of those just incredible teachers, and she developed this model on her own, and it's been incredible. We also have our other example of even more intensive learning at the zoo is we piloted 2 years ago. This is our third year of a high school class that's sure. taught. This year we have almost 30, I think 28 juniors and seniors from 13 area high schools that are spending 2 hours a day taking a class in zoo and aquarium science at the zoo.
Oh, that'll definitely resound right here at Michigan State University. I know they have a nice, excellent zoo and aquarium science discipline, which, you know, right here in Michigan, we're
yes.
really gifted at that.
Rick, this morning we're talking with Dennis Laidler, the education curator from Potter Park Zoo. And after the break, we're going to continue our conversation. And we also have another special guest in the studio who's about to come out and visit with us right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. Was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ahoo, werewolves of London. kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor.